This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
It's 8:05, 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. A little fog hanging around in some spots, otherwise sunny skies today. High today about 90, almost exactly like yesterday's weather. At 8:46 a.m., September 11th, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center after being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Almost no one knew what was going on until 17 minutes later, when things began to become a little more clear.
At 9:03 a.m., United Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center after being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Two more planes crashed in the next hour. At 9:37 a.m., five more terrorists flew American Airlines Flight 77 into the Pentagon. At 10:03 a.m., the final plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania southeast of Pittsburgh, claiming all the lives of United Flight 93, including the four hijackers.
Weeks after the attacks, more than 6,000 people were estimated to be killed. However, when the deaths were confirmed, the number rested just less than 3,000. In the World Trade Center, 2,606 people were confirmed dead, including police and fire officials, EMS and first responders, and 147 people died of the two planes, plus the five hijackers. At the Pentagon, 125 people died, with 59 lives claimed from the flight, plus the five hijackers. And in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 people died, plus the four hijackers.
Each year at 8:46 a.m., America pauses to remember the lives lost. I spoke with a few Chapel Hill Carborough locals to discuss that day, what it was like then, and what it means to them now.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
I was going to my office, and I had just stopped to get a cup of coffee at Whole Foods, which is right at the edge of Raleigh. I heard something on the radio, which I couldn't quite, I wasn't paying full attention, and it didn't make any sense.
I don't remember exactly, but we were in the office, and the words, we didn't have a television in the office, so words sort of began to dribble in. The main thing was, what do I do with my employees? Do we need to stay together, and or do they need to get home?
At the time, I was a young lawyer, brand new at the job at the Center for Death Penalty Litigation in Durham, and I remember some other people arrived in the office and said that somebody had fired a rocket at one of the World Trade Center towers, and we were all just kind of in disbelief, like, well, that just can't be true.
I was on my way to the law school at North Carolina Central University, where I work. I had stopped by the post office in Durham, and when I got back in the car, I heard on the radio, about the first tower being hit, I guess. Then I came on to school.
I remember hearing Matt Lauer say something about, oh my goodness, what is that?
Okay, I have got to interrupt you right now.
Sorry.
Richard Hack, thank you very much. We appreciate the book is called Hughes. We want to go live right now and show you a picture of the World Trade Center, where I understand, do we have it? No, we do not. We have a breaking story, though. We're going to come back with that in just a moment. First, this is Today on NBC.
This just in, you are looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
That was about 8:46, I guess. And at first, they thought it was a small plane that had flown off course and hit the tower. And, of course, you're just captivated looking at that on TV.
I walked by a television, and there was the picture of the crash. And, again, it just sort of made no sense.
As they were showing the fire on the first tower, I remember very vividly standing and watching television and seeing the second plane hit the other tower.
I was in my office. One of the other workers in the office came in and asked if I had heard that a second plane had struck in New York City. And then at that time, of course, just as with everyone, we all realized this was something serious.
And then when we got the news about the plane that crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, I mean, that confirmed that this clearly was a coordinated attack, and it was an attack that obviously had been planned for a long, long time. And I think that's why there was so much willingness to give the government some leeway try to get to the bottom of this thing.
Then there were more news reports coming out about evacuating the Capitol and other attacks on Washington, and it was you know, we were all concerned about what was going to happen next. And there was a great sense of helplessness, I think.
It was as if the whole country just was on pause for several days while we tried to kind of sort through the ramifications of what this might mean.
I think the terrorists won because the Patriot Act infringes on so many of our civil liberties. It's threatening our constitutional rights. I think they won in the sense that every time we go through the airport, it's a great struggle. I think they won in the sense that we now have a secret court and secret spying on everybody.
Those pictures are now iconic as you see people falling from the towers or running down the street with that cloud chasing them. And then all of the heroics that we came to learn about after the fact, and the first responders and all of the things they did, you know, that's another clear sign of what we see in any disaster or event of this sort. We see that people rise to the occasion and do extraordinary things.
I remember the pride that I think many Americans felt in those first responders who responded to the crashes in the towers, watching those towers fall and realizing that all those heroes' lives were likely lost, along with thousands of people.
I would say the overall impression was not only horror, but disbelief at what we were seeing and what we were actually hearing. And it just was hard to get our heads around it. And frankly, that's true still to this day.
I think it is. It's a reminder of a tragedy. All of us have people who we are connected with who lost people in the particularly in the Twin Tower catastrophe. It reaches, I think, to many people in the country and to me, that it's a personal kind of thing that you can't think about today without thinking, here's some really good person who was going about his or her business, and many of them, young people, were on their way to a successful career, and it just kind of stopped.
That is probably the boldest and most frightening of events that any of us could really imagine.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
That was former Senator Ellie Kinnaird, Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinsmith, Carborough Alderman member Lydia Lavelle, host of Who's Talking on WCFL D.G. Martin, and local activist Fred Black. Rand Northam, what are your remembrances of September 11th, 2001?
You know, it's a day that I don't think any of us who were alive that day will ever forget. I was in eighth grade, and a teacher across the hall came in and announced to our teacher what was going on, and just kind of not knowing what was going on at first, and it really was, oh, this, you know, this accident, wow, it's an amazing accident that's happened. And then, you know, you hear that second hit, and, you know, one of the questions that I asked these people was, did you ever think, you know, was there a point where, you know, it was just one after another, did you think, wow, when is this going to stop? Obviously, they shut down the airports, and a lot of measures were taken, and even the Pennsylvania crash, I remember a lot of people talking about how the people on the plane actually got noticed that something was going on, and they, you know, tried to take over that plane. We don't know, I don't think, exactly what happened on that plane that day, but, you know, they tried to do what they could to save wherever that plane was going. They think it might have been going to the White House or the Capitol or somewhere in D.C., and you know, just an amazing, amazing day, and will never be forgotten. And what about you?
Well, I think I, like everybody, I remember what I was doing. I was hosting the morning show here on WCHL, as usual, and first saw those images. We had a TV monitor on in the studio, as we do now, with the sound turned down. It was on CNN, and I saw, shortly after 8:46 a.m., I saw the image of the first plane crashing into the tower, thought it had to be a horrible accident, wondered how in the world that could happen.
Right.
And then a few minutes later, when the second one crashed into the second tower, and we all knew that it was orchestrated and it was definitely deliberate. And my first thought was, anger. And just this enormous sadness, you know, and that's the overwhelming feeling that followed me you know, throughout all the aftermath of that, just the sadness as we got to see all the individual stories of people who were killed in this horrible, horrible thing. And we all came out of it with a newfound respect for firefighters and others who were absolute heroes in all of this, trying to help other people.
My dad was a pilot for American Airlines. He knew two of the flight attendants on one of the flights. And he was a very passionate man. That's one way of putting it. He wanted that day to drop everything, and he was not flying that day, thankfully for us. But he wanted to drop everything and go to New York. What can I do? What can I do? And I know people across the nation were feeling that, and a lot of people did drop everything they were doing and go to New York and do just anything that they could. They wanted to sift through rubble. They wanted to just help in any way that they possibly could. I know people opened their homes, and you know, it was amazing, an amazing time of America coming together in support of one another. And I know every year at this time we remember that, but it's not quite as strong as it was that day.
No, it tends to fade over time, unfortunately. And you know, for me, during all the coverage of September 11th and what happened, that anger was still there in the background, but it was overwhelming sadness. And every time I would see a piece, I would just be riveted. And music is such a big part of my life. Music is such a powerful force. Somebody would put together a piece with all these people talking and scenes from that day and everything else, and they'd put music with it, and that just made it more meaningful and just drove it all home for me. And I know for so many other people as well. And we just felt this overwhelming sense of unity and patriotism, and everybody loved each other and everything else in the United States of America. And unfortunately, that has faded as well.
There are two really holes in the ground right now in New York, where the World Trade Center Twin Towers were. There was a thought that they were going to rebuild, not exactly rebuild the towers, but rebuild on those spots. Instead, there are reflecting pools now in those spots, and a beautiful, beautiful tribute to that area that they've done there. Now there is also one World Trade Center. It is 1,776 feet tall with its tower on top. Of course, 1776, the founding of these United States, a very thought out and an appropriate number as far as how tall that building is. One World Trade Center, very reflective building. It's a beautiful building. They continue to work on that, but it has been topped, so it stands now at 1,776 feet tall. And New York City will never be the same, but I know Rudy Giuliani led the way there, as he is very well known for, and really brought that city together and kept everybody together while the times were tough. And we continue on now as Americans, and we will never forget this day, though. I know every year for me, it's a very touching time and a very thought-provoking time. But now with Syria going on, and you know, we always think of what's next. You know, you can't help but think, could this happen again, or could something like this happen again? So it's every year it brings those memories back.
It changed our lives, not in a good way. And that big building that is there now remains as a symbol of strength and hope for the future. And, you know, I think this is a good day to just pause for a moment and reflect. Our Chansky will talk about this, how it affected, you know, sports events and that sort of thing, and what all this memory brings back for him. And it does, you know, for so many of us. If you were, you know, everybody remembers where they were, what they were doing when this happened. It was just, it still is unbelievable. I mean, yeah. To think that somebody could do this to other human beings that they had never met, did not know, innocent people,
right?
Men, women, children. I mean, just unfathomable.
That's what hurts so much about it, is that it was innocent people just going about their everyday lives.
Yeah.
Not, you know, there was nothing. There were no military connections with the Twin Towers. There were financial people and just business people just working. And those were the ones who were attacked that day.
Well, we should never forget.
That's right.
That's for sure. September 11th, 2001, the day the world changed, really.
It did.
Rand, thanks for putting together that piece. Thanks for gathering the remembrances of all those people. If you'd like to hear this again, you can go to our website at chapelboro.com. It is there. And we appreciate your listening this morning and remembering right along with us. I'm Ron Stutz. Now let's get to some of the other news this morning. One very important story that happened last night in Chapel Hill. Gene Rank, who lives off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, was one of many residents who've said that no matter how many public meetings are held, they will not be happy with the proposed plans for the Central West area.
Makes me more upset the more I find out about it, because I just don't think it makes any sense.
Rank joined a crowd of close to 200 people last night as part of the Central West Steering Committee's public feedback session. It was a chance for Chapel Hillians to review maps laying out possible land uses and building heights for new development along the Estes Drive corridor. The four different map versions featured mixed-use development located on the north side of Estes near the Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard intersection. The plans call for residential development to be located closer to schools, as well as a mix of office, institutional, and higher density housing to the south. She said that she believed it would create more traffic and density problems near her neighborhood.
This is an exercise in futility to develop this particular parcels right here on Estes Drive, which is already overcrowded.
Amy Ryan, co-chair of the committee and a Chapel Hill Town Council candidate, said the committee is aware of the numerous issues the residents are apprehensive about, such as an increase in traffic and the safety of school children in the area. Ryan said that the committee would continue to recognize those concerns while trying to achieve the vision of the Chapel Hill 2020 plan.
I think it's important for people to remember that we're still at the stage where what we're presenting is ideas that we're thinking about, and we're bringing them out to the community tonight to get feedback from them so that when we actually make decisions on what we want to see in our plans, that we have that community feedback.
But some committee members, like Julie McClintock, argued a fifth map ought to be included. That lower density map is a version drafted by an unofficial subgroup. Members have said they can't support any of the committee's concept plans. That group, along with other concerned citizens, set up outside of the meeting last night at Amity Methodist Church. They displayed their own map, information, and renderings with a message that the Central West planning area was not the place for intensive urban development.
Somehow we've ended up with a set of plans which really don't jive with what the community's happy with. And the idea to this whole process was we were going to take it out to the community, see what they liked, come back, adjust, go back.
Michael Parker, co-chair of the Central West Steering Committee and Transportation Board representative, said the committee would take all of the feedback and incorporate it into discussions at their September 19th meeting.
First, I would encourage them to make sure that they fully understand where we are in the process and what's being thought about or what's being considered in the options.
Parker added the committee is on target to make final recommendations to the town council on the 25th of November. Now, also, there is a work session tonight scheduled by the Chapel Hill Town Council. They will talk about the rewriting the town's land use codes to fit the new comprehensive plan laid out in the Chapel Hill 2020 process. And later this month, the town will host a series of events to get more public input on topics including stormwater controls, commercial signage, and regulations for bed and breakfasts. Tonight, a consultant with Code Studios will present the timeline for the project and highlight key milestones for the council. Work session begins at 6 o'clock tonight, meeting room B of the Chapel Hill Public Library. If you'd like to find out more about the comprehensive plan, you can go to our website, chapelboro.com, all the details there. WCHL News Time, 8:23. Time for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you by Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, immersed in the East 54 community, where you can book your private dining party from 10 to 300 people in one of five different private dining rooms. Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. Now with traffic, here's Rand Northam.
We do have some slowdowns, Ron. 15501 northbound between the South Columbia exit and Manning Drive, seeing some slowdowns. Heavy at times there. Be on the lookout as you travel. I-40 heading westbound, seeing some delays right now between NC-54 and 15501. Those heavy as well, so you might see some delays on 15501 that could be causing that. I-40 eastbound between NC-54 and NC-751, seeing some slowdowns as well. And the Durham Freeway northbound for about 2 miles or so from the I-40 interchange, seeing some delays this morning. No accidents reported, but if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather presented by Townsend Bertram & Company, Carborough's locally owned adventure outfitters. Townsend Bertram & Company celebrating its 25th anniversary this Saturday from 4 until 8 p.m. at Carmel Mall. This free event will have live music, activities for kids, an outdoor beer garden, and a whole lot of fun for everybody in the family, all at Townsend Bertram & Company this Saturday. A little fog still this morning in some spots, otherwise mostly sunny today, high about 90. It's 70 right now. Tonight, mostly clear with a low in the middle 60s. And then tomorrow, more of the same. 20% chance of rain in the afternoon. High again, about 90. It'll be a little cooler the following day. On Friday, our high only in the low 80s. So that is downright refreshingly cool.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial position is 97.9 FM. Our website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen from anywhere in the world with instantly live streaming. You can always start your day with Ron Stutz on 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
825 at WCHL. This quick note, Jonathan Reel announced yesterday he is withdrawing as a candidate for the Chapel Hill Town Council. He sent an email to WCHL's Aaron Keck saying, quoting here, "Unfortunately, I've had to withdraw based on some personal health matters." Reel is a political strategist, professor, and musician. The withdrawal of Reel now leaves 9 candidates competing for 4 seats on the town council. More local news coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL, and of course details on all of our stories available on our website at chapelboro.com. WCHL Championship Sports, it's bye week for the Carolina football team, and maybe coming at just the right time with 2 completely different caliber opponents to start the season. It can be tough to judge exactly where the Tar Heels stand. Senior signal caller Brent Renner says he thinks the running game will benefit from some extra work in the week away from the big stage.
I think we just need to take more reps, you know, live game situations. You know, it's tough to get a, you know, a fair assessment after 2 games, but I think, you know, we ran the ball pretty well against South Carolina, and, you know, obviously we struggled here today, but, you know, I think we just got to keep plugging at it. I think, you know, those guys up front do a great job protecting me, and I think, you know, we just fit on blocks here and there, and I think we're going to, you know, be fine later on this season.
Yeah, the Tar Heels did struggle to run the ball against Middle Tennessee State, and getting a win at home, though, was good. It wiped some of the feeling out of that South Carolina loss, and now they're heading into the bye week.
Oh, definitely. You know, it's a lot you know, better to win. I think, you know, it was good to come back home and, you know, have our home crowd here and get the victory, but I think, you know, it got the bad taste out of our mouth.
Running back Romar Morris, who scored a couple of touchdowns on Saturday, says he thinks the problem with the overall rushing attack has nothing to do with the offensive line. He says those big linemen are improving with each practice.
Yeah, the offensive line getting better and better every week. They started out, everybody had a rough week last week, but everybody's just been pushing forward. We had a great practice all week last week, and offensive line has been looking pretty good.
James Hurst had such a good week, he was named the offensive lineman of the week in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Morris says he believes the bye week will help the offense prepare for the tricky schemes, or help the defense prepare for the tricky schemes that Georgia Tech's unique offense presents. They won't see it from anyone else.
It helps them pretty much the same way. I'm getting to know their scheme a little bit better because their defense is pretty good. They had a good defense last year, so just got to learn their scheme.
On the other side of the ball, senior safety Trey Boston, who came up with a momentum-changing interception against Middle Tennessee State in the end zone, says he's seen his teammates developing into stronger defenders. Boston says the defense is ready to show off.
We want to show how good we are. We know how good we are as a defense, and we know how good we are as secondary. And it's one of those things that as a defense, we need to show it. We need to show the people what we're capable of. And being able to show that this week after a tough loss last week, it really helped.
Still, the Tar Heels can't give up the big play. You can read this story and follow all the latest in Tar Heel football on our website, chapelboro.com. Go to Huddle Up with the Heels, 828 at WCHL.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
On the 12th anniversary of 9/11, do you remember where you were? This is Art Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. If you were born before the mid-1950s, you remember where you were when JFK was assassinated. I was a freshman in high school, horsing around in social studies class when an announcement came over the intercom, something about the president. Later that day, our football coach made us run around the field a few times and then sent us home to await word whether Friday's game would be played. It wasn't, and as the state of Massachusetts and the country mourn, pretty much everything was canceled. In 10 weeks, it'll be 50 years. There were other times as sad, like the deaths of Bobby Kennedy and Martin Luther King, and proud memories like Alan Shepard, John Glenn, and Neil Armstrong taking giant steps for mankind. As I recall from being outside that time of the year, most of those occurred in the spring and summer. Where were you when we invaded Kuwait in 1990? Maybe in or on the way to the Dean Dome, or home getting ready to watch the game with NC State when it was canceled. September 11th is a memory that sticks for sure. Tuesday morning, early in the first full work week after Labor Day. Maybe you watched the New York Giants at Denver on Monday Night Football. Recently, I read somewhere the Giants landed in Newark at the next gate where Flight 93 was boarding an hour or so later. I was at Jan's house with the TV on in the background, then heard some reports about a small plane hitting one of the Twin Towers.
Carolina was ready to feel better by beating up on Patsy SMU after losing its first three games on the road at Oklahoma, Maryland, and Texas. Then that game was postponed until the end of the season, and the Tar Heels would surely open 0-4 for the first time since 1988 because their next opponent was nationally ranked Florida State. You recall what happened in that game after the nation was trying to recover from 9/11. Yes, that 41-9 win sure made us feel good. In sports elsewhere, Barry Bonds was on a home run tear. Michael Jordan was hinting about another comeback. Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi had a match for the ages, and Serena and Venus Williams actually played each other in the U.S. Open women's final. Then the world stopped one Tuesday morning. Stop for a moment today and remember where you were. This is our chance, Gene. See ya.
We'll never forget WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. Mostly sunshine today. High today about 90. Tonight mostly clear with a low in the middle 60s. And then tomorrow partly sunny. Slight chance for showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. High about 90 degrees. Going to cool off a little bit on Friday with a high only in the low 80s. And comparatively speaking, that sounds really cool.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM. WCHL on chapelboro.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
70 degrees in Chapel Hill, 832, WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. Gene Rank, who lives off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, was one of many residents who said that no matter how many public meetings are held, they will not be happy with the proposed plans for the Central West area of Chapel Hill.
Makes me more upset the more I find out about it, because I just don't think it makes any sense.
Rank joined a crowd of close to 200 people last night as part of the Central West Steering Committee's public feedback session, an opportunity for Chapel Hillians to review maps laying out possible land uses and building heights for new development along the Estes Drive corridor. They have a total of four maps laid out and all just a little bit different. We have Julie McClintock and some committee members and other people who have argued that a fifth map should be included. That lower density map is a version drafted by an unofficial subgroup. Members have said they can't support any of the committee's concept plans. Here is McClintock.
I think it's important for people to remember that we're still at the stage where what we're presenting is ideas that we're thinking about, and we're bringing them out to the community tonight to get feedback from them so that when we actually make decisions on what we want to see in our plans, that we have that community feedback.
My mistake, that is Amy Ryan, co-chair of the committee and a Chapel Hill Town Council candidate. Now here is Julie McClintock.
Somehow we've ended up with a set of plans which really don't jive with what the community's happy with. And the idea to this whole process was we were going to take it out to the community, see what they liked, come back, adjust, go back.
If you'd like more information about Tuesday night's public feedback session, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Again, Town Council has a work session scheduled for tonight at the Chapel Hill Public Library. In other news this morning, we've had some shakeups following former State Senator Ellie Kinnaird's resignation. In less than a month, Representative Valerie Fushi of Chapel Hill has been appointed to Ellie Kinnaird's Senate seat, and in turn, the process to fill her seat is underway. WCHL's Rachel Nash spoke with Ted Benson, chair of the 4th Congressional District, and he's charged with overseeing these complicated processes.
One member of the body resigns and is replaced. Oftentimes that does have a sort of domino effect.
It has been a busy couple of weeks for Benson, and the work isn't over yet. Sunday, the District 23 Democratic Party's Executive Committee announced that Fushi would be the new senator to represent Orange and Chatham counties. Benson says he mailed an official letter to North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory the morning after Fushi was nominated. Governor McCrory has 7 days to accept the nomination, after which it will go into effect immediately by law. As Fushi steps into her new role as senator, her House seat will become vacant and the nomination process will begin again with a different executive committee. The group is made up of officials from District 50, which encompasses parts of rural Orange and Durham counties. The four-member committee will vote and make the nomination for Fushi's replacement. Benson will oversee the process but will not vote.
We would move with, you know, reasonable speed, but also taking time to make sure that we get the candidates who want to get in and that the public gets to know who those are and gets to know who the committee members are and that the committee members, most importantly, can get to know the candidates.
Benson says he expects to hold a public information session within the next 2 weeks to discuss the vacant House seat and to appoint a new representative within the next 30 days.
Well, they don't normally happen often in any given district, but if you look across North Carolina, this kind of thing happens every year somewhere.
Benson, who has a professional background in science as a field biologist and a biochemist, has been a volunteer with the Democratic Party for years and has worked on several state campaigns. He credits Don Davis, a state senator and chairman of the 1st Congressional District, for being a resource as he navigates through a complicated procedure.
It's actually been a really good experience. The state Senate piece was a lot of work. It was unexpected, and it was a logistical challenge.
For more information on how to submit your name for the House vacancy, you can read this article on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
WCHL News Time is 8:36. Construction is underway again at the Family Fair BP off Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, the source of the gasoline leak into Crow Branch Creek last month. A gasoline tank is being installed at the site. Bishop Construction Company was doing renovation work at the BP just before the time of the leak. Sometime in the early morning hours of August 2nd, falling concrete punctured a hole in one of the fiberglass tanks at the gas station. The breached compartment held about 3,200 gallons of gas at the time of the incident, though the full amount was not leaked. Gasoline escaped from a sump pump connected to a storm drain, which then flowed directly into Crow Branch Creek, a feeder of Booker Creek and Eastwood Lake. An unnamed tributary to Crow Branch Creek near Critz Drive and Booker Creek at North Lakeshore Drive registered levels of a substance found in gasoline equating to a state stream standard violation. Marvin Barnes of M.M. Fowler, the company which owns the gas station, and William Bishop of the construction company were cited as a result of the leak. The parties have until September 15th, four more days, to respond to the North Carolina Department of Environmental and Natural Resources, and they could face five state violations and fines up to $25,000. WCHL News Time is 8:37. It is September 11th, and we've been remembering September 11th, 2001, all morning long, and all of those memories etched into my brain, and I'm sure they are yours too. And we're going to talk about something on a much lighter note this morning. We have a special guest in the studio, Brian Amra, who owns Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54 in Chapel Hill, and also Tobacco Road Sports Cafes Durham and Raleigh. And Brian is here this morning. How are you, Brian?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. And I know that you have a lot of great things going on at this new sports bar and grill in East 54 Shopping Center. Take just a minute and tell folks what Tobacco Road Sports Cafe is all about.
My brothers and I opened about 6 years ago, and Raleigh was our first location. We're a local place. Everything stays local. We're from scratch kitchen. To be honest with you, we got sick of eating at one place and going to watch the game somewhere else because we're degenerate sports fans. So so we, from scratch kitchen, we make everything there, and we're trying to be kind of a all-encompassing family place to go watch sports.
I had the opportunity to talk with you just a few days ago, and I was fascinated by your background and the fact that it's a family business, and you guys, there's nothing better than a local business doing well and doing good in the community.
Yes, sir. So far, so good.
Yeah. Triangle Tobacco Road Sports Cafe at East 54. Give us some information about how it all got started and how you came to be in Chapel Hill.
We were, my brothers and I all kind of worked locally here doing different things. I worked for GlaxoSmithKline, and, you know, we did some things locally, and then we decided one day that, you know what, it'd be a great idea to open a restaurant. So, our first location was in Raleigh, and then it just, you know, it was a no-brainer to go to Durham and Chapel Hill. We wanted to be close to the universities.
We've got some great restaurants in our area, and I know that you, like so many of those, believe in fresh local foods, you know, working with area farmers and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
And also providing exceptional service and what you call infinite sports.
Yes,
why
sir.
Are you such a sports junkie?
Well, you know, it's just, it makes you feel good no matter what's happening. It doesn't matter what time of year, you know, it's, you can sit down, have some good food, and cheer for your team.
Well, all of this is well and good, but if you don't have a really good chef, it doesn't work. Tell us about your executive chef.
He's amazing. We believe that's what separates us from a lot of places, the difference between a cook and a chef. But he went to the New England Culinary Institute. He's just an amazing guy. Patrick Cowden's his name. Very hard worker, family guy, local guy. He actually was at a place in Chapel Hill. I won't mention where we stole him from, but he was here for a while. And he believes in what we believe in. I think at this point, just under 90% of all of our ingredients are local. And by local, we mean within 100 miles.
Yeah. And I know that you also take pride in accommodating everybody's special dietary needs, if there are such things.
Absolutely. That's why when you're from scratch, we can do anything. Anything we can do, we will do. You know, sub this, sub that, especially these. Everyone's so conscious about that these days, you know, especially with kids and peanut allergies and things of that nature.
I have been fascinated to learn that you can accommodate large groups up to 300 people, which is amazing. You guys have a great space.
Absolutely. And we took a bit of a gamble with that. We, you know, most restaurants these days are wide open. So what we did was we put a lot of banquet spaces in so we can accommodate groups from 10 to up to 300.
And you have special indoor and outdoor capabilities.
Absolutely.
A whole bunch of different private dining rooms, one of five private dining rooms.
Yes, sir.
And the overriding thing is good food and lots of great fun and sports.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You're in the best place in the world to do that.
You won't get an argument from me.
I know that Tobacco Road Sports Cafe has the only thing frozen in the restaurant, the ice cream. Which
ice cream and the ice cubes. That's it. Yeah.
So if you haven't been out to Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, you got to go and see what fresh, local, delicious food and exceptional service and infinite sports is all about. Brian Amra, we wish you the best. We thank you for being a part of WCHL's family of advertisers. Well, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. It means a lot that you had us in today. Thank you.
All right. 8:41 at WCHL. And coming up next, today's commentary on the way from Raleigh Mann. He talks about getting carried away with commercials and previews. We're talking about at local movie theaters. That is on the way right after this on WCHL.
Chapel Hill is where economic development is Commerce Plus. And now you can keep up and join the conversation on Twitter by searching for hashtag Commerce Plus. You'll find your neighbors and town staff talking and sharing about economic development, trends, local news, and much more. Be inspired, be educated, be in the know. Follow us on Twitter at CHEconDEV or search hashtag Commerce Plus. To find out more, visit opentobusiness.biz.
Orthopedic injuries can make even the smallest movements difficult. That's why UNC Orthopedics has made it even easier to get the care you need. Many of our services are located in a convenient facility on Highway 54 in Chapel Hill. The same exceptional care is available in sports medicine, total joints, bone health, orthopedic prompt care, and our fragility fracture program. For information, visit uncortho.org.
This hour of the Morning News is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Gina Lucas was selling diamonds at one of those big national chain jewelry stores, but told her boyfriend not to get her ring there. Instead, go to Diamonds Direct.
Knowing the quality and the selection that he would have at Diamonds Direct, I specifically directed him to go to Diamonds Direct. The selection at Diamonds Direct is just huge. I did get a better diamond for better quality, better price.
Gina says mega national chain stores just couldn't measure up with lower quality diamonds and cookie cutter rings.
The quality wasn't there. The selection wasn't there.
And now with a Diamonds Direct ring on her finger. Well, Gina had to make the switch, so she left the corporate store and now loves helping people at Diamonds Direct.
We promise the best quality and the best price across the United States, hands down.
Hand-picked diamonds straight from the diamond cutters, the most sought-after designer rings in America, and the kind of personal service you deserve. That's Diamonds Direct.
Everybody knows about Diamonds Direct. Everybody wants to go, oh, I got my ring at Diamonds Direct.
Diamonds Direct Crabtree on Glenwood outside Crabtree Valley Mall across from Fleming's, official jeweler of the Carolina Hurricanes.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know to review your auto policy well in advance of your teenager getting a driver's license? Adding a teenager to an automobile policy can triple your premiums. And if you don't have a stable relationship with your insurance company or agent, you may have a hard time securing the most preferred pricing. If you want to discuss strategies for keeping your costs low and providing the most protection for your family, call Hein Rubish at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your auto policy. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
This is it. It's football time. That means there's only one place to get every bit of Carolina and college football stats, commentary, photos, sideline news, and much, much more. It's Chapelboro's Huddle Up with the Heels section.
Shotgun snap to Renner and drops straight back. Plenty of time, goes to the end zone. Ebron catches it for six. What a play by the Tar Heel tight end.
And it's jam-packed with everything you'll need to know this season, plus extras you weren't even expecting. So don't get blindsided. Check out chapelboro.com/huddle up all season long.
Thank you, superstar, disc jockey, morning talk show host. Been here forever, keeping us doing it right, Ron Stutt.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Raleigh Mann. We live in a society driven by greed, and we need no clearer evidence of that than the cancer-like spread of advertising into virtually every aspect of our lives. This pitcher's earned run to average is brought to you by Harry's Storm Door Company. The Supreme Burger Avocado Bowl will take place in the Safeway Insurance Stadium. Too many commercials back-to-back-to-back ad nauseum have ruined television watching for me, probably for you too. To seek relief from this relentless assault on our intelligence, we occasionally go out and see a movie when a good one comes to Chapel Hill. Last week one did, so we went. We arrived 15 minutes before the movie's scheduled time, and only one other car was in the parking lot. 7 minutes before the movie's scheduled starting time, the screen lit up with a commercial advertisement, and the speakers blasted out its message at full volume. We had to hold our ears. This assault continued through 20 screaming commercials in a row. You heard right, 20. These were followed by previews, all extremely loud. We endured 7 of these blasting at us, and now it was 15 minutes past the scheduled time for the movie that we came to see. With yet another preview blasting away, we retreated to the lobby, asked for our money back, and left. Just one block away, a different theater was showing the very same movie. Its parking lot was full. We had to park in a more distant lot. The movie had just started. We quietly slid into our seats and enjoyed a terrific show. On our way home, we noticed that the parking lot of the first theater now had 4 cars in it. So here's a suggestion for movie theater companies. We want you to make a profit, of course, but get greedy and you'll fail. If you want people to come to your theater to see movies and buy overpriced snacks, tell the truth. Start the feature film at the time advertised. Cut way back on the commercials and turn down the sound. Try that. See if it works. Check your parking lot. This is Raleigh Mann.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators. Local people, local issues on 97.9 FM. WCHL.
68 degrees in Chapel Hill, 847 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
What is a dilemma that haunts every Southerner who confesses that he or she is a liberal? Well, Alabama publisher Brant Ayers, who is visiting in Chapel Hill this week, seeks an answer to this dilemma in his new book called In Love with the Thief, The Making of a Southern Liberal. Ayers describes how his progressive views set him apart from many of his fellow Southerners whose culture and basic values he respects and shares. At the same time, this attachment to his Southern heritage sets him apart from non-Southerners who share his basic political views but cannot understand his attachment to the positive features of our Southern culture. The Ayers family publishes the Anniston Star, which pushed for racial tolerance, fair treatment, and opportunity for blacks when the majority of its readers were committed to preserving the Deep South culture that Governor George Wallace calls segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. Back in 1959, when Ayers was young, he got a job with the Raleigh Times, and there he met and married the granddaughter of Governor Eringhouse. Ayers remembers hearing while he was in North Carolina that we were a veil of humility between two mountains of conceit. He says, it finally dawned on me that Tar Heels are mighty cocky about their humility. Upon his return to Alabama, Ayers used the positive accomplishments of Luther Hodges and Terry Sanford in North Carolina to contrast with the failures of Alabama leaders like George Wallace. And he led Anniston's efforts not to be like Montgomery, Selma, or Birmingham, where racial turmoil engulfed communities and made reconciliation problematical. While In Love with Defeat is a personal memoir, it also is an exploration of the transformation of the South from a region of racism and poverty to what it is today. And Ayers writes that some things, good and bad, about the Old South have been preserved. He says the glue that held the old segregated civilization together, which binds our society today, is the sameness of everyday life. Workday rituals, habits of civility, conformity to the norm, ambivalence, indifference, and resignation. There were bitter end haters, he says, but it is remarkable how light was the hold of the haters on the rest of us. At the end of his book, Ayers is still caught between his liberal leanings and his identification with Southerners who do not share those views. Then he concludes, "We," he says, "used to be the solid democratic South, an impenetrable phalanx arrayed to stop the black man from entering." He continues, "Now we are the solid white Republican South, arrayed with a similar intent, but lessened effect and excused with heightened deceit." Well, maybe this is a tough puzzle to understand, but former Mississippi Governor William Winner says that Ayers comes, he says, as close to explaining who we Southerners are and why we act as we do. This is D.G. Martin.
Thanks, D.G. 8:51 at WCHL. Today, of course, September 11th, and at 8:46 a.m. on September 11th, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 struck the North Tower of the World Trade Center after being hijacked by five Al-Qaeda terrorists. Almost no one knew exactly what was going on until 17 minutes later when another plane hit the other tower. Weeks after the attacks, more than 6,000 were estimated to be killed. However, when the deaths were confirmed, not just of those two plane crashes, but the other two as well, the number rested just less than 3,000. In the World Trade Center, 2,606 people confirmed dead, including police and fire officials, EMS and first responders. 147 people died in those two planes, plus the five hijackers at the Pentagon that crashed there. 125 people died, 59 lives claimed from the flight, plus the five hijackers. And in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 people died, plus the four hijackers. You can go to our website at chapelred.com and hear the feature that we presented all morning, including the comments of Ella Kinnaird, Mark Kleinsmith, Lydia Lavelle, D.G. Martin, and Fred Black. We all remember where we were at that moment on September 11th, 2001, a day that changed our lives forever in the United States. It's 8:53 at WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
My name's Don Bassnight. I'm with Weaver Street Realty, and I've enjoyed my work there for over 20 years.
Don Bassnight isn't one of the people who started Weaver Street Realty, but the company was less than 10 years old when he joined.
I remember seeing their float in the Christmas parade, and that standing out as being local and just a little bit different than a normal real estate company. And I also love the fact that they loved land and Hall River property and Carrboro. Having grown up in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, I like to celebrate how that really feels like one town. There's seven of us, and five of us are either owners or managers. And it's not that different than our community here in Orange County with Chapel Hill and Carrboro having two governing bodies. We also have to listen to, obviously, our county commissioners, and the University of North Carolina has a say in what we do here, and OWASA has a say. So this real consensus-building community in Weaver Street Realty is that way. We're in it for the long haul, as proven by the fact that I'm one of the newest agents there, and this is my 21st year. And there is something to be proud about having longevity. People come back to you and go to you for your knowledge, but you also have to stay up on what's going on.
Don Bassnight at Weaver Street Realty in Carrboro. It seems he's always been a part of this community.
That's true. I've realized recently that with my over 10 years in my family's hardware business and over 20 years with Weaver Street Realty, I'm right at 31 years selling something on Main Street of Carrboro. I've lived in Chatham County and Orange County and Durham County. Went to school in Guilford County.
And I've always come back to Chapel Hill, and I love that.
Get in touch with Don Bassnight. You know where to find him. Weaver Street Realty in Carver.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL. Local service, daily insight.
Do you remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? If so, call me, 919-929-WCHL. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Irene Brigham is today's WCHL hometown hero, and yes, Irene has been our hometown hero before, but we thought it would be appropriate to honor her today because the IFC is celebrating its 25th anniversary of doing the RSVVP program. John Dorward, executive director of the IFC, is here to tell you all about that program and about Irene.
Back in 1989, the food bank actually had the idea given to it for RSVVP, and Irene got hold of that, and Irene said, shoot, let's just go ahead and do it over here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. So she ended up with 17 restaurants that first year, and they raised about $6,200.
From those humble beginnings, it has really built into quite an amazing thing. How many restaurants and businesses participate in it now?
We will average somewhere between 105 and 110 restaurants locally each year now, and we will raise anywhere from $22,000 to $25,000.
Why is it so important to the IFC?
Well, Ron, you know that the food programs that we run are the first things essentially that the agency got started doing many, many years ago. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year, and food has always been a big part of what we do. The food pantry provides groceries to a variety of different households within the community, and the community kitchen offers 3 hot meals a day. So the money that comes from this allows us to be able to buy the little bit of food or those sorts of things that we just don't have donated. Although most of it is donated, there are still expenses for running these programs.
For the few people in our audience who have not had the pleasure of being in contact with Irene Brigham, what is Irene like and what has she brought to this effort over the years?
Irene is a fireball. If you've never worked with Irene, Al, her husband, likes to liken her to a dog with a bone. And she is. I mean, Irene is one of those caring individuals who really wants to do a good job, who wants things to run smoothly. We are so lucky that part of the work that she volunteers on is RSVVP and the IFC. She's a delightful individual.
Thanks to John Dorward of the Interfaith Council. Irene Brigham's volunteer work in the Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County community is legendary. The Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce even created the Irene Brigham Lifetime Achievement Award for her. She has dedicated her whole adult life to serving the community. She is what I would call a professional volunteer. And Irene Brigham, you are an absolute dynamo. Irene Brigham is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Don't try harder, enjoy more. Imagine experiencing a richer life without the striving, stress, and frustration we can heap upon our lives. My name is Kenneth Fenar, lead pastor at Grace Church in Chapel Hill. There's a better way to do life than gritting your teeth, trying harder, and hoping things get better. Join us this month at Grace Church as we explore a life perspective that is biblical, grace-filled, and fun. Your world will come alive afresh with a new lens on life. Grace Church, reaching people, building lives. GraceLife.com.
For more than 20 years, the Kennedy Dental Group has established an unbeatable standard of diagnosis, treatment, and dental care for patients at their University Square office. Doctors Jeff Kennedy, a 1984 UNC graduate, Richard Wagner, and newest partner Leland Webb have more than 100 years of experience and continue to be recognized locally in the best dentist category. They look forward to their upcoming relocation to the iconic former WCHL building at the bottom of East Franklin Street. Visit KennedyDentalGroup.com. To learn more.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving fresh fruit coffee fast. Guaranteed to taste great. Fuel off this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. 70 degrees, mostly sunny today. Look for a high today of about 90. Tonight, mostly clear with a low in the middle 60s. You will notice today's weather exactly like yesterday's weather.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happens. This is 97.9 FM. WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Chapel Hill Economic Development. Open for business, to business. Find out more on the web at open.